Our theme for Lent this year is love unspoken. And as kind of a departure from our normal way of doing things, Andy and I will be preaching largely on the Old Testament over the course of Lent, which is fine for me, but Andy told me this morning just as we were getting ready, he says, you know, I've never preached on the Old Testament before. First time for everything.
Yep. Challenge accepted.
Yeah, challenge accepted. I get Deuteronomy, he gets Genesis. This reading from Deuteronomy this week, first of all, how many of you have ever read Deuteronomy? A couple of you. In the first service, several people from our Thursday Bible study did not raise their hands, and I was like, dudes, we did Deuteronomy, you just don't remember. It's a fascinating book, and in many ways, quite challenging. In the reading in the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy for today is this really powerful and seminal moment in that scripture. It's a retelling of the story of the people of Israel in a tiny little verse. And it begins, and I'll repeat it because oftentimes I've discovered over the years that people aren't really listening to the first lesson. When you come into the land that the Lord God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as the place where the name of God dwells. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say, today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there became a great nation. And then the rest of the story. It's a powerful piece of scripture because it instructs the people of the Lord, and if, as you know, Deuteronomy is just sort of taking the Ten Commandments and expanding them greatly. It's like the difference between the 1040 EZ form and the regular 1040 form. This is the 1040 form with the instructions and the video. But in this little text, God is saying to the people, remember that land that I gave you? Do you remember that land, that place? I want you to give thanks. Because it didn't come easily. I remember growing up and reading the wonderful Lutheran Bible study things that they gave us in Sunday school. The really nice pictures. And it was always Moses standing on this side of the river and Joshua and all the people of Israel walking into this green, verdant, bountiful land of milk and honey that was completely and utterly empty. Except it wasn't. If you read the story, what you find out is that when Moses and the people arrived there at the river and they looked over on the other side, guess who was there? The Canaanites! And there were some Amorites and some Hittites, and there were all kinds of people in the land that God had given them. Just as Abraham had done. When God said to Abraham,
as plentiful as the sand in the desert and the stars in the sky. And then if you actually read that part of Genesis, you find out that Abram was a warrior. In the same way, God's people came into their land and took it. And having received it, God reminds them that each and every year, you begin your year by giving the first fruits of your harvest. And someone pointed out after the 8 o'clock service, they said, you know, it's amazing, because often the first fruits are the best fruits, actually. Strawberries, right? Grow those strawberries, the first ones come off, they're really big, and then you can rest on your day. You're supposed to take the first fruits of every fruit in the ground and you put it in a basket and you give it to God. And not because of God's need. God does not need your strawberries or your leeks or your onions or your garlic. Not because of that. God sets this precedent within Deuteronomy, which, by the way, in this text is not a tie. We end at verse 11. It's in verse 12 that they tell you to tie. You're so lucky. Would you give as much as you want? 10%, 5%, 50%, all of it. First fruits, not for God's sake, but so that the people of God can be reminded whose they are. That we find our very beginning and being and end in the one who creates all things. But it doesn't stop there. It says, by the way, the Egyptians who did all these horrible things, so she gave us this land and this great bounty, and what you shall do is set that bounty down before the Lord and bow down before the Lord your God. You, together with the Levites, that were the priestly tribe, and all of the aliens living among you. And you shall have this beautiful text in Deuteronomy, we are reminded that God's love is not just for the chosen ones, but for the Levites and for everyone who is gathered in our midst. You can roughly translate alien as immigrant. Immigrants and slaves and all of the people who are around you, we will share in this bounty together, so that we remember whose we are. Like a beacon reminding us of the light. I think that this text is so important in these days because there's so much competing for our loyalties and for our expectations. This liturgy of the feast, this moment that God puts together for Deuteronomy, always brings the people of God back again to the touch point that in God's love, God has given all of the land and all of the harvest and all of the fruit, and we return it in a feast. In our gospel lesson, Jesus remembers whose he is. I didn't get to do the children's sermon this morning here, but at a lighthouse. And light. And I said, well, what happens if you're in a terrible situation? You're out in a storm and the wind is blowing and everything's going terribly bad and it's dark. And when the kid said, I'd go inside. And I said, but how would you feel? She said, sick. I was trying to get him to say afraid. And I finally said, I would be afraid. Well, Jesus gets presented in this text with this kind of temptation, the kind of temptation that falls on the people of Israel to think too much of themselves and to be great and powerful and holy. Satan tempts Jesus again and again and again and again. And do you notice in that text what Jesus turns to?
That's it.
Phone a friend. No idea. Do you remember what Jesus does?
They don't even know.
Thank you, Bill, I can always depend on you. Every single answer that Jesus has, he quotes the word of God. He returns to the touchstone, to the gift of God's word, which is our, maybe God's first fruit for us. So that when we are lost, we turn to him, to God's word. And the Lord knows there are times that we are lost. I spent a good bit of last week reading a report that was really hard to read as a clergy person. It's a report, this particular report, I've read about six of them now, but this report was particularly about clergy use in Hawaii. And I bring it up in the sermon because I think it's something that we need to talk about. Sometimes we can be like the early people of Israel that just go breezing into our land and think everything is just fine. But it turns out it's not. We think that we own the land, and we own the whole place, and it turns out that we don't. In this report, it was account after account after account after account of how clergy and clergy-related people have breached their trust and destroyed the life of the church. In this way, the church has lost its way. And even worse, rather than give and take and receive and give thanks for the first fruits of God, the church has chosen time and time again to preserve itself. Has been we talked about this in our clergy gathering a couple of weeks ago. My friend Liz grabbed out the Presbyterian rules, because Presbyterians are awesome about rules. So she has like 16 volumes of rules. They do this every year. We need a new rule. But she pulled out the rules and she found a place where it says something to the effect of that the church must always proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and live out its mission, even when doing so may imperil its own life. It is better that the church should die. Better that the church should die than to lose its mission. Think of Jesus standing on that hill with Satan saying to Jesus, hey, you could have all the chocolate chip cookies you want right about now. You could have all of everything that is before you in a blink. I will give it to you, or even so, throw yourself off the pinnacle at the top of the hill and let the angels come and sweep and they will bear you. Satan, why are you saying that thing to him? Jesus' answer is to remember whose he is. That he and us and all of you belongs first to God. And that the church and the people we are called to lift up the first fruits, the best that we have, in celebration of who we belong to lift it up to the Lord and to one another. be God's holy people for the world. And when we lose our way, to stand in humility and forgiveness of God, and probe us with Christ. So dear brothers and sisters, God has brought us to a land of milk and honey. He called us to lift up the first fruits as an offering of God's grace, unspoken.